Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. The draft is complete. It's in the books. I've already got drafts that have started. These rookie drafts are crazy. I'm making trades. I'm moving up. I'm making moves. I hope you are too and having some success. And not only having some success, but also having fun and taking your time because that's where it's at. Tyler, how are you feeling so far with these drafts that are all kicked off?
It's been interesting. I mean, our first rookie draft we had a team that was in high need of a quarterback. His only quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. Needed a quarterback, and he went Marv. And, I mean, I respect the hell out of Mr. Sosa. I don't know if you guys know the Dynasty Bros podcast. They're pretty good. I don't know how many episodes they post lately, but they're pretty busy fellas. They're smart, so I trust in his evaluation. He has Justin Jefferson, and, I mean, that team really is poor, let's just say. So I don't know if he's thinking, hey, you know, lock these two stud receivers up and maybe get a quarterback next year. I was confused, as was everybody else. Rich got Caleb Williams landing right in his lap.
Although Rich wanted Harrison.
Yep. And, you know, Rich instantly posted Pat Mahomes on the trade block because, I mean, he's got Richardson, Caleb, and Mahomes now. Three, like, elite quarterback. I could be elite quarterback. So, yeah, it's been interesting. We'll talk about it a little more. I traded Kyler for Jane Daniels to kind of reset my quarterbacks in the same league. You've had multiple offers and trade backs, and you've been moving and dealing. Yeah, it's been fun. This is a very fun rookie class, and that's what I've noticed. Is I don't think I've seen any of the, like, usually it's like the first eight, but I haven't seen any like, okay, this is what the order is going to be. This is chalk. Usually when you hit, like, out of the top three, it's wild. And even then, like, Neighbor sneaks in the top three. It's crazy. We'll get into landing spots in the NFL draft, but it's nuts. It's a crazy time of year. I'm in, like, seven drafts right now.
Yeah, and I can't wait until we get into the second rounds when these tiers become, like, a big lump to see, like, who people value more and where they go. So that's going to be super interesting. But, yeah, like you said, the consensus top eight so far is a little all over the place, which is fun. It's a little bit different. Before we get into the draft, I want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack. Make sure you go on trophysmack.com. The best trophies. They've got belts, grills, you name it. They've got draft boards. I do highly recommend their draft board. Right now, if you pre-order, I believe you can get 20% off. Not a single player I had to handwrite at Scott Fishbowl. They have fun little stickers. You can put, like, I hate you, worst pick, you know, best pick, all those little things you can put on the board, which makes it a little bit extra fun on draft day. So make sure when you go on trophysmack.com, if you order a belt or a trophy, use code DHHRING and get a free $60 ring at checkout. All right, so we are going to do this a little differently. Normally, you know, a lot of podcasts that I listen to just go like the way that the players were drafted. But I told Tyler, I said, you know what, let's do it different. Let's go by team and give you the big picture of the team. That way we can talk about how it impacts the rest of the roster. Because I think some of that gets missed when you have guys that were picked in the first round and third round and they don't get kind of lumped in together. So we are going to start with the team that had the 101 via the Carolina Panthers. Yes, you want to say something?
Oh, I was going to say, like, also going this route, we play an IDP and we love IDP. I mean, one of my favorite leagues, if not my favorite league, is an IDP league, and we're both in it. So this gives us a chance, like, when you go through the teams and you go through all their picks, and we'll hit mainly on the skill position players. But if we see a defensive player in there that we think could be an impact, we'll mention it.
Absolutely. So let's start with the 101. This was a pretty easy pick. We knew it was coming. It's Caleb Williams. He's obviously either the 101 and in some leagues, the 102. In our drafts, you know, it's going to be interesting. He is set up for massive success in his rookie season because with their other first round pick at 109, the Bears selected wide receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze, who, you know, these top three wide receivers, Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze, are all very, very close with the way that everyone ranks them. I like Odunze quite a bit. and I was able to get him in a league today, a couple leagues actually, which is always fun. But Tyler, from fantasy purposes, I mean, we might see, I don't want to put too much on it because we saw Justin Herbert just a few years ago have arguably the best rookie season we've ever seen. Can Caleb exceed that?
Yes. And it all depends on the offensive play caller for me and setting Caleb up for success. Caleb does have a few things he needs to work on. The offensive line should be better. But yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about this is Caleb and Rome. Like we saw when you see a lot of quarterbacks get drafted in the same class, like Tank Dell and CJ Stroud, going back, Andy Dalton and AJ Green, like they have a connection. And we've already seen Rome and Caleb have a connection. I hear a lot of people saying like, oh, DJ Moore is there, which is fair. And Keenan Allen. Well, Keenan Allen hasn't been the biggest, you know, bill of health. And also, Rome and Caleb getting drafted together. Caleb is going to have a connection with Rome, and you can already tell it's going to be there. I think Rome might be one of the more underrated players in this draft. Like, he's going to be the last pick. There's a chance he outproduces neighbors quicker than we think. Just because, I mean, we'll get into neighbors, but yeah, Rome, I think, is set up for major success, if not this year, the next year. Like, it's going to happen. And people say the comp is Devontae Adams. And Caleb's comp has been Aaron Rodgers. So if we're getting an Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams-style connection here, yeah, that's great. Like, sign me up for that.
Yeah, and we're starting to see Rome get into that anywhere from 106 to 108 in your Superflex leagues. And, you know, I'm on the clock at 108 right now, and I did not think I would be in the situation to pick between Rome Odunze and Drake May, but I'm happy I am. So it's a nice problem to have. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, I love the landing spot for Rome. I had them in my head mocks because I don't do an actual mock draft, taking Rome to pair with Caleb and really focusing on the offense, because in that division with the Vikings, who we're talking about next, the Packers, as well as the Lions, they're going to need to score points. So, you know, what's a good way to do it? Surround your 101 rookie quarterback with great options all around. So they are built to score points. And their defense, the second half of the year, actually played really well last year. So I think the Bears are going to make some noise.
I do want to mention one thing is the stadium, their new stadium design has come out. I don't know if it'll get approved or not, but if it is approved, Caleb playing indoors in Chicago, I know that's one of people's biggest issue is like, oh, Chicago, it's windy, it's cold. If they start playing indoors in, say, 2 or 3 years, yeah, like that's awesome for Caleb, and that will be a non-worry. So
yep, be a nice little track meet there in the wintertime.
Yeah, so easily 6 games, I mean 4 games, because you got Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay will never be indoors, but no. Having Chicago indoors as well, that's over half your games indoors.
Yep. Let's move on to the Minnesota Vikings here. They moved up one spot with the New York Jets and moved up a spot to take their franchise quarterback. The rumors of JJ McCarthy being a top 6 pick didn't come to fruition. There was definitely some smoke there. There was a quarterback that got picked higher than him, which was the most interesting part of the whole entire draft, in my opinion. But the Minnesota Vikings take JJ McCarthy at 10 take over for Kirk Cousins and be the heir apparent. Now, when this pick was made, it makes sense to me in my brain. I get it. I am not a big JJ McCarthy fan. He's been going pretty consistently at the 104, 105 in the Superflex leagues, and I don't understand it.
I do. It's the weapons. It's the play caller, and it's a perfect fit. Like for me, being up here in Minnesota, he is a mobile Kirk Cousins. That's who JJ McCarthy is. He's somebody who can control an offense. He's very smart. He's been in a pro style offense in college. I get he hasn't done much in college because he didn't have to. Harbaugh played tough defense. They ran the ball a ton. And when JJ was called upon, especially when they needed a first down, JJ was awesome. So I really like the spot. For fantasy, we'll see. That's my biggest issue is for fantasy. I mean, Kirk Cousins snuck into the top 12 every so often, but it was because of the high passing numbers. I think with JJ, they'll kind of go on the ground a little bit. They got Aaron Jones there. Yes, the weapons are there. But for JJ, I think he will grow into the Kirk Cousins style. But for the first couple of years, I think we're going to see him as more of a quarterback 15 to 18 range, kind of where Jared Goff set.
Yeah, kind of like in that Jared Goff mold. Tyler freezing up. Fun. Oh, there he is. He's back.
So where did I freeze?
You were talking about Jared Goff mold.
Okay.
Not so, because he left his bread out too long on the counter.
So Jared Goff was like a 15 to 18 before he blew up with Ben Johnson. So I think that's what we're gonna kind of see with McCarthy. But as things progress, we could see him get into that top 12. I think people are going to sit there and expect more at first, but it will come, is my feeling. But this is a perfect landing spot. And honestly, as quarterback, I love Drake May. It's a coin toss right now for JJ or May. That's where I'm at.
I want the more physically talented passer who's more athletic. So for me, it's Drake May over McCarthy, and it's pretty easy. I know the situation isn't as luxurious in New England as it is in Minnesota, I'm banking on the talent. You know, one of the things, the low-key things that I haven't heard anybody talking about is Minnesota's weapons. They only drafted one skill position player, and it was, well, unless you count kicker. They drafted J.J. McCarthy, but so the running back backfield of Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones seems to be safe. Who's their wide receiver three? Because they lost K.J. Osborne. Powell?
Didn't they draft somebody?
No, they didn't draft anyone.
Okay.
It was like a UDFA, but
yeah, maybe it is UDFA. I think it's Powell. I'm almost sure they
tight ends. No tight ends, so I think they feel pretty good about Hawkinson.
Which is great. Yes. That's good signs.
I do want to note that too, because a lot of people were like, "Oh, Hawkinson towards ACL." Well, if they were super concerned, I think they would have spent the Patriots got Jaheim Bell in the 7th round. And he was like a top 5 tight end for a lot of people. So I think if they were super concerned, they would have addressed it in the back end of the draft. So, yeah, so that was the Vikings draft. Let's move on to the Detroit Lions. Just give me one moment while I pull that up, because I was not prepared. Bad host.
Right. Well, no, going into Minnesota, I'll go over this. If we're looking at Dallas Turner, I think lands in a perfect spot. He's going to be Danielle Hunter light for the first couple years until he grows into his body more. He's still very young. I think we could see Turner as a 8 to 10 sack person in IDP. So if you need somebody, if he's given the defensive end eligibility, you're looking for sacks, and I think he's a good spot there.
Yeah, let's go to Detroit. We are looking at. They didn't do a lot on offense. They added a running back in the 4th round, who I don't know much about. This is very interesting. Sione Vaki. Is he like more like a fullback? I'm not familiar with this player. He was one that they drafted, and I'm like, I don't really know him.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's like a fullback type. They went hard on the defense. They signed a lot of their offensive players. Amon-Ra St. Brown signed an extension. And Penei Sewell signed an extension. They're locked up. You're going to see a lot of the same with Detroit, which is perfectly fine with me. All they need to do is lock Goff up.
I would agree. And they took one of my favorite names in the draft, Christian Mahogany. Very beautiful.
What does he
name.
Smell like? Rich Mahogany?
I have many leather-bound books. It's a beautiful thing. All right, let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. And, they were also focused on defense because they had the luxury of drafting a lot of offensive players last year. So they didn't really need a lot on offense. But when they did go offense, they went with one of the draft people's favorite running backs, had a great Senior Bowl, has a little bit of ball security. But you know what? Josh Jacobs is really on a series of one-year deals in the backfield. They brought back A.J. Dillon, yawn. But Tyler, when they drafted Marshawn Lloyd in the 3rd round, he got good draft capital, top 100 draft capital. What were your thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd being added to the Packers backfield?
Exactly what I thought was going to happen with these running backs. They're going to land in backup positions and maybe split backfield positions. It sucks. They're going to ride Josh Jacobs as much as they can. Now, once again, Josh Jacobs isn't the picture of health. I could see, him getting a little more involved later with Jacobs getting hurt. So yeah, Marshawn Lloyd to me is somebody that where would you take him comfortably?
I think Marshawn Lloyd in a rookie draft, I would be comfortable
He's a third round pick, right?
I think, yeah, I think everyone's sleeping on these running backs anyway, so I think there's going to be a ton of value. So I think in the beginning of the third, I would feel super comfortable taking Marshawn Lloyd.
Okay.
That wouldn't be a problem
whatsoever. Yeah, me too. Because once he starts a couple of games, if Jacobs goes down, value boost right up, and people be like, oh, see, here he is. The issue is he's also 23 years old already, so he's a little long in the tooth for a running back. Yeah. So, I mean, by the time he gets a starting position, if, you know, they do keep Jacobs for the following years, which I could see Jacobs being two years at least, I mean, we're looking at an older running back. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, the talent's there, and it's behind a good offensive line now after drafting a bunch and a good offense.
100%. Let's move our establishment over to the NFC East, shall we? Because they had the second pick in the draft. There was rumors all week. You know, Adam Schefter was like, you can buy a Jaden Daniels jersey, you're fine. And then there was rumors that he didn't want to play there. He didn't like the whole group outing thing. And
maybe
they
he's
picked
not a big
him
top golf fan.
I mean, how could you not be? That's
yeah, I was going to say, how could you not?
That would be a red flag. I'd be like, how do you not be top golf, weirdo? So the Commanders stick with the pick. They take Jaden Daniels at 102. I'm seeing his ADP. He's going anywhere from, it seems, 103, 104 is pretty much where he's locked in our Superflex leagues. You, like you said, traded Kyler. So talk me through that type of process.
So when I first got the trade in, my team is in the middle. Last year I was I'm pick 110. So I was fourth place. And I thought to myself, okay, Kyler, he gets Marv. Great, great upgrade. We've seen Kyler with stud receivers in the past, which seems like forever ago since we've seen Kyler with a good receiver. That was with Kingsbury, different offense. I do like the offense that the Cardinals have now, but they are more of a running attack, and then they do play action. So I haven't seen Kyler in this offense with a great receiver. I do think we'll get into Arizona, so I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what they did, but my issue with Kyler is he's 27. He's 5'11". How many years am I going to get of an elite style Kyler player if his running kind of fades a little bit with age and he's got to depend more on the pass, you know, staying in the pocket? The offensive line is middling, maybe even bottom middle of the NFL. So for me, I was like, oh, I don't know. So I just decided to go with, I mean, I chatted with you and you even said, like, Daniels is interesting and dynamic. Like, the thought of him on your dynasty roster is dynamic. And that was my thought. Like, he's 6'4", 210. And if his running fades later on in his career, he still is a good thrower and is 6'4". And I get he puts himself in the bad positions, but if he turns out to be Lamar, I destroy this trade. If he is not great, I still think his fantasy upside with his running ability is still there. So for me, I was like, I'm going to go with the dynamic player in Daniels and hope the value rises even more than it already has. I have never been huge on Daniels through this whole process. I think there are some red flags with him and kind of getting scared. I mean, he throws himself into tackles, which is never a good thing, but he's a tough motherfucker. I mean, that's there. So, like you've mentioned in the offseason, I hope he doesn't fall into that Robert Griffin-style career arc. But he's also bigger than Robert Griffin, you know, tall-wise, and I think he's a better thrower than Griffin was. So I decided to do the trade. I also traded for Jahan Dotson in the same league. I traded Cole Kmet straight up for Dotson because I think as a deep threat, Dotson is the dude. Terry McLaurin will be more the intermediate. So I think wheels up for this offense. They also got another guy that will you go ahead and mention.
Yeah, so Tyler, you are finally coming around on this player, and there was rumors that he might get drafted somewhere in the second round, and that is exactly what happened. Very similar, not similar draft capital, but he went 53rd overall, the 21st pick in the second round. It was Ben Sinnott. He was the second tight end off the board out of Kansas State. I love Ben Sinnott because he can do a little bit of everything. He has upside athleticism. He can be on the field all the time. And the thing that I love most about this is that it's a wide open depth chart. Much like Sam Laporta going to the Detroit Lions last year, where they didn't really have anything at the position. So you knew he was going to start right away and he was going to catch passes. I mean, I don't think Sinnott's going to be the second pass catcher on that offense, but he very well could be the third. because you got Terry McLaurin, you have Jahan Dotson, and then you have Ben Sinnott. And for a rookie quarterback that is mobile, a good tight end is very, very important. So in a tight end premium league, Tyler, where were you comfortable taking Ben Sinnott?
I mean, you guys all know I took him in the mid-second during our mocks and how much I really like Sinnott. I think he's right there. Give me him in the mid-second over these running backs that we'll mention. I think he's one of those guys that they're going to be like, oh, Zach Ertz is there. Well, no. Like, Daniels is going to grow with Sinnott, just like we've seen, like with Rome and Caleb. I know it's not similar, but Sinnott is a special athlete when it comes to the tight end room. So I think they're going to grow together.
I will agree with you. My phone is blowing up with trade offers right now, so I'm trying to pay attention as best I can. It was an advantage to do the podcast on a Sunday night, but then like thinking of like, oh God, I've got people proposing trades, wanting to tweak offers, like, yikes. So I'm doing my best.
It's all right. Just cut in and out. So if you don't hear Doug with his attention, it's because he's probably making a trade. I mean, we got some picks that are climbing down to the under an hour that Doug and I, we got
exactly
picks coming up.
On.
Doug's trying to do make trades. This is the best part about rookie drafts. Is like, even in our UDPL league, we had like zero trades for 2 months. And then we've had, I think, like eight. It feels like eight trades in the past.
Yeah, I've made like two or three of them.
Yeah, I've made two for sure. I'm looking to make another. There's a lot of deals going on. And yeah, I mean, I think everybody that listens to us, Doug, understands.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into their next pick. A little bit of a surprise here. The 100th player taken off the board at the end of round three. Wide receiver Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. Used to be a quarterback. He's only been playing wide receiver for a couple of years. Had an outstanding Senior Bowl week. We all know the last name. Yes, he's Christian's brother. But he looks, for a guy that's only been playing receiver for 2 years, he looks pretty damn good to me. I didn't think he would get round three draft capital, so that was a bit of a surprise. But I think that he could go in there and be the – you can interchange him and Jahan Dotson. Like, I think you can move them outside inside pretty seamlessly, and Terry stays on the outside. I don't mind this pick at all, and I think he'll end up being a value in especially Superflex rookie drafts. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to look at him in the round three, maybe mid-round three, for a guy. And I think personally I'd rather have him than Marshawn Lloyd. I know everybody's gonna be like, oh, why the running back has a chance? Like, McCaffrey got drafted by a new regime with a quarterback that he's going into the season with as a rookie. They could grow together just like Sinnott. So give me that opportunity, especially with a guy who hasn't been playing receiver much, but like I mentioned before on the podcast, like, I think he has a pretty good teacher in his father.
100%. Just a crazy athletic family. It's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, let's move on to our next NFC East team, and that is the New York Giants. Rumors that they were looking for a quarterback, but you know what? They decided that they're going to stick with their albatross of a contract quarterback in Daniel Jones and maybe capture the magic of 2022 all over again. And they got an alpha pass catcher, which is exactly what they needed because they had some smaller guys on the roster, Jalen Hyatt, you know, TBD on him, but they went best player available. And I don't blame them here, taking Malik Nabers at the 106 in the NFL draft. Slam dunk. I've seen him go as high as 103. And I just saw him go in one of our drafts at 107, which is
nuts.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. Malik Nabers, personally, like, great landing spot. He's going to get tons of targets. People are sitting there like, oh, Daniel Jones, like, this offense is going to go around Nabers. It's not going to go around a running game with Saquon anymore. They don't have that. We'll talk about a running back that they picked up that I really like. But this is all about Malik Nabers. He is the show. Kind of when Odell Beckham had old Eli Manning and Odell was the show. This is what we're going to see. Malik could be a major target hog. We're talking 150 targets year one. Could rival Marv year one with targets. These two are going to just be the offense. So for me, I love Malik Nabers. I actually made a trade in our listener league. I didn't think I was going to get any Malik, so I dealt Puka. I love Puka.
Yeah,
I dealt Puka, and 310, and I got Malik Nabers and 204. Now, the trade-up was great. It was gravy on the potatoes that I had. But Malik straight up for Puka, I might be able to see that as a good thing because you got draft capital. You got the offense that's going to go right around Nabers. You don't have to compete with Kupp. You don't have to worry about Stafford because you know what? Giants are going to get a quarterback. They will be in the market next year. And I know everybody's like, next year's quarterback class isn't great. We thought there'd only be two quarterbacks in this class, and that'd be Drake May and Caleb. And look what happened. We had six in the top 12.
Yeah, bonkers.
So I think we'll be just fine in New York, and he is going to be the offense.
You know, it's a shame you didn't wait a handful of more hours after that Puka Nacua basketball video came out, because then you would have gotten even more of it. Have you seen this video, Tyler?
No.
Oh, my God. So he's at the three-point line, like at the arc. He does this sick crossover move, then dribbles inside, goes up with his left, or maybe his right, and then switches hands Jordan style and this hyper-athletic lay-in off glass. And I was like, oh, my Lord. Puka Nacua. Absolute baller. So just a fun – go check that video out if you haven't seen it, all you X or Twitter followers. It's amazeballs, and I love it. Malik Nabers to me, out of any of the wide receiver, I think he has the highest ceiling in this draft. I'm not really concerned about the quarterback play. Brian Daboll will get him the ball. I am not worried about that. But Nabers' explosiveness – in yards after the catchability gives him, I think, the biggest ceiling in this draft class. So if you were able to get him, you know, at 107, geez Louise, good job. Let's go to their next pick on the offensive side of the ball. And it was round 4, pick 7, hyper athletic Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State. We've all heard the rumblings of Darren Waller might retire. He's getting divorced. Apparently he's been married for a year. He's getting divorced. Wow. You never know with Darren Waller. He's got a history of, he's got some mental health issues. So hopefully he's all good there.
Yeah, I agree.
But Theo Johnson, you know, they have Daniel Bellinger on the roster who I've liked for a long time. Maybe he's a late bloomer. I don't know. But Theo Johnson to some was a top 5 tight end in this class, especially after he tested. But guess what? Penn State guys are athletic. Are you buying the Theo Johnson hype?
No.
Out of Penn State?
No, I think I'd take the discount on Bellinger. Daniel Jones knows Bellinger, but yeah, I'm not falling for the trap again, Doug. I'm not doing it.
You're not going to fall for Gesicki again?
Gesicki, we had Freiermuth. Freiermuth hasn't panned out like we all wished. These Penn State tight ends keep fooling us.
Yeah, I mean, we chase the athleticism at tight end, and that's usually one of my keys to success. Maybe it's just a Penn State thing, although Freiermuth should bounce back.
And I'm
not overly worried.
I don't think we're going to see high draft capital for Theo Johnson. I think other tight ends will go sooner. I think everybody in the dynasty industry is smart enough to be like, oh, we're not doing this again. We've done this.
Yeah, 100%. Let's get into their next pick, because this was a very interesting one, because they signed Devin Singletary in the offseason. They have Eric Gray, who was a rookie last year. I don't think Matt Breda is there anymore. I think he's a free agent, finally. But in round 5, pick 31, 166 overall, this guy was a former receiver for, I think, 4 years and switched over to running back. He's obviously got great hands. He could be the smaller version of Antonio Gibson, but maybe used correctly. And if there's anybody that's going to use someone correctly, I feel that it's Brian Daboll. So for me, a rookie that I want to have maybe in the fourth, maybe he makes it to the fifth round in rookie drafts, is Tyrone Tracy Jr., running back out of Purdue.
Yeah. Crazy thing is we have that league with some industry people that we draft before the NFL draft. Well, about 4 days before the draft, I picked Tyrone Tracy up in free agency because I'm like, I feel like this
Beautiful.
Guy could get some draft capital. And it happened. Now the issue is he's 24, but I think he could be like a James White style player. He was a former wide receiver at Iowa. I'm pretty sure it was Iowa. And then transferred to Purdue.
It was Iowa,
became a running back. And he's still learning the running back aspect of it. But if all he needs to do is catch passes out of the backfield, that's perfectly fine. Now, Daniel Jones has shown that he can do that, especially with Saquon. But, I mean, Tracy's not Saquon. Yeah, as a late-round guy, this ain't a bad guy to target because he has ultra-athleticism and he's fast.
Is fast. All right, speaking of fast, let's see how fast I can switch over to the Dallas Cowboys because I am distracted by my phone because guy's got 15 minutes and I'm trying to get his pick. And let's hope that doesn't get all bundled. So let's go to the Cowboys. They focused mostly on the offensive line, which is great for whatever running back is going to be there. It looks like it's going to be Zeke Elliott and Rico Dowdle, Tyler. There's rumors, or I don't know if they have officially re-signed Zeke yet, but I thought for sure maybe they got flustered when Jonathan Brooks went off the board and they were like, and just decided to pivot and went pretty much offensive line and defense early. The only offensive skill player they picked, which I do like because this guy was getting some positive encouragement on the Twitter space. Round six, pick 40, 216 overall, Ryan Flournoy from Southeast Missouri State. Now, I thought the Cowboys could go receiver too because, you know, they have CeeDee Lamb who might hold out. We'll see. They got rid of Michael Gallup. They have Brandon Cooks. Jalen Tolbert, I think, is a big winner in this draft. And so is Rico Dowdle.
For now.
For now.
So Cowboys, they're building like they used to. They are building for the offensive line when they had Zeke. And maybe that's why they're bringing Zeke in. Like, hey, last time Zeke was elite was when they had an elite offensive line. Maybe they're going back to that. I could see that. Yeah, that maybe, like we saw with Green Bay back in their heyday with McCarthy. It's like, okay, they had multiple weapons, but they had their guys. They had their stud receiver, their stud quarterback. They had a decent tight end. But they targeted their main playmakers, and I think that's kind of the route they're going to go to. CD's a huge winner. Like, he's going to get his targets again. Dak, I think, is fine because he's got a better offensive line. Like, it's way better than what it used to be. And with the running back, like, I get everybody wanting to draft running back. Next year's class of running back is going to be way better. Like, we're talking, like, deep. So maybe Dallas is waiting until next year. Now, rumor has it, like, apparently Jerry went on TV and was like, Jonathan Brooks was one of the best interviews I ever had as a GM and owner.
He showed his cards.
And right before Dallas picked, Carolina traded up. I mean, spoiler, just and took Jonathan.
When they got sniped, they needed a tight end so bad, and the Eagles got Dallas Goedert.
Yes, 100%. Like that, Jerry has been awful at this. He's been so bad at kind of hiding what he wants to do. Everybody knew they wanted Jonathan Brooks. Every single person, even in us folks in Dynasty, knew they wanted Jonathan Brooks. And yet he didn't hide it, and it bit him in the ass. So, yeah, for running backs, like this team is more the same. I think with the offensive line, what it is now, it's smart because you got to build within the trenches in this division. Otherwise, you're not going to win. And they need to get back to that because that offensive line was fading very fast, especially with Tyron Smith falling off and he's on a different team. They needed to make major changes on this offensive line. So I actually liked what they did.
100%. And I finally got that trade done. Tyler, you're going to hate me. It's okay.
It's fine.
All right. That's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles, who, in my opinion, Howie does it every year, not necessarily from a fantasy perspective, but they had a really good draft, especially getting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in the first two rounds. Just a good job. And Jeremiah Trotter later, who I thought was a good pick. Let's get to their skill players because they had some interesting ones. In round four, pick 27, 127 overall. I know you love this guy. Clemson running back Will Shipley. Decent draft capital. Do you think that... I know they got Kenny Gainwell still there. I think Boston Scott's still there, whatever. They obviously signed Saquon Barkley. What do you think Shipley's upside is?
I think it's captains unless Barkley gets hurt. Barkley is going to be the offense. And, I mean, we saw it with Miles Sanders. Yeah, they subbed him in and out, but Miles Sanders was the guy. Like, they want to stick to one running back. And Howie never pays for a running back, and the fact that he did, I think he's just going to be like, all right, Saquon, this is your backfield. This is all you. So, yeah, I think Shipley is capped until, like, I don't want it to happen. A Saquon injury happens. But, yeah, it's Saquon for sure. So this could actually drop his value, which I would be snagging up.
Yep. And then they went with in round five because there was a lot of rumors that they were going to draft a receiver early and they didn't. They fifth round pick. They've obviously got a lot of money tied up in A.J. Brown now and Devontae Smith. Devontae Parker was signed in the offseason. Yawn. But Anaya Smith, I know a lot of people liked out of Texas A&M. What were your thoughts on that pick, Tyler? Do you think he could be like their wide receiver three of the future?
I mean, they don't. Who's the third receiver that they had that was always had like some weird upside here and there? I forgot his
Riley
name.
Riley Cooper?
No.
Quez Watkins.
Yes, Quez Watkins. Yeah. He could be Riley a Cooper. Poor man's him. But I think we're going to see ultra targeted to A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and hopefully not Dallas Goedert, but maybe probably not. Dallas Goedert. But Saquon's going to get his too. I think this offense, I mean, they hit the offensive line. They just signed Mekhi Becton to a deal, which you know what's going to happen. He's going to blow up and he's going to
be great.
He's going to be 100%. Great. Like, seriously, we see this all the time. And would you ever, like, so Lane Johnson at the end of his career, could you see Mekhi Becton just literally filling his shoes and being great? Like,
very well could be.
Everybody probably thinks that too. Like, oh, great. Like, they got a book and tackle for the next 5 to 6 years because they know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely. I think the Eagles definitely took a step up, and with Hurts, with the better offensive line, hopefully, or maybe just standing pat, they lost Kelsey, and I think this team will be better. I mean, they fell off at the end of the year, so I think that's a main focus, is kind of just sticking to the norm, getting the offensive line figured out, and playing better defense.
100%. Last but not least, I was sad, not only because the draft capital wasn't great, but he also went to a team where he's now going to be absolutely buried on the depth chart. And that's Johnny Wilson, the 6'6" wide receiver from Florida State. To me, like beforehand, he might have been like take a flyer on him in the fourth round of a rookie draft. To me now, like you take a flyer on him on the fifth or a UDFA.
Yeah. Speaking of slot, this is a perfect slot receiver for this team. Just
so?
a big slot. Why not? Or you throw him on the outside and you throw in these other two guys on the inside.
I'm not as optimistic. Yeah.
It landed with a team that has a good quarterback and can get him the ball and will probably utilize him the best way possible. So I think this is a best case situation for him because I think we all knew he's going to be a day three pick.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. It makes me sad though. But that's okay. I will be all right. All right, where do you want to go next? Do you want to go to the West or to the
South?
Let's
get over with.
you want to go to the South?
Yes, let's just get this pain over with.
All right, let's start with, I guess we'll start. Yeah, we'll start here. We'll start at the Cardinals. I mean, the Falcons, rather, because I know it's going to hurt you. So the shocker of the draft, maybe of all time, other than the Saints trading their whole draft for Ricky Williams. And it's funny. So I'll set the scene. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rochester, New York. There's about 12 of us. And before the picks are made, like we like to predict who's going to get picked. And, you know, I didn't expect the draft to be so chalky with no trades in the beginning. So the Falcons are up and I'm thinking they're going to go a defensive player. I see the pick is in. They didn't trade out. And I was like, okay, they're going to go defense. They have a guy, either it's Latu or Turner, that they like, and that's kind of what the buzz is. And before the pick comes in, you know, they come up to the podium. I go, Michael Penix Jr., just joking. So they pick Michael Penix Jr., and everyone looks at me like I'm an NFL insider, and I'm like, I was just kidding. I have witnesses, so this is a factual take as to what happened. I could not believe it. I said it so tongue-in-cheek, and then they draft Michael Penix Jr., and I was like, what are you doing? What, this is your team, Tyler. I've heard people try to justify it as like, oh, Kirk for 2 years, it's hard to find the next quarterback, might as well have him there. That logic makes sense to me. But if you have 108, you couldn't have traded down a few spots?
That, no. Because Raiders were trying desperately to move up for him. There was a couple other teams, apparently, like Seattle, trying to move up in the top 10 for Penix. So they personally probably knew Penix was out of their hands if they didn't get him. The only way I can justify this is that they have been hurt so much by these quarterbacks not working. Like, backup Desmond Ridder. Like, they lived that.
They have lived through the Desmond Ridder experience. and the frozen Tyler on the podcast. Oh, he's back.
All right, where did I end?
Desmond Ridder. Yes, they lived through the Desmond Ridder experience, which was awful.
Yes, they lived through that. God awful. The only way I can justify this is that they were comfortable signing Cousins to a two-year deal, but I've heard rumors they can get out at year one. The only way I could see this is that they don't want to be in quarterback hell after Cousins. They don't want to be in that position because in their eyes, apparently, they saw themselves as a 20 to 32 drafting team for the next foregone future. So they decided, let's get a quarterback that they actually said through like Matt Stafford. They personally went to, like, they didn't spend much time with him, but when they did, his arm, they said, was so live that it was like Matt Stafford. So okay, they were like, hey, in this offense, let's just not worry about quarterback ever. Let's not have to worry about trading up. Let's not have to worry about, you know, signing big money again. Let's just get it over with here. Now, with 2 years, say Cousins does say 2 years, they have three more years, including the fifth year, that they can have Penix on in a cheaper deal. Penix, yes, he's going to be 24 soon, but a quarterback like him can play into 38. So you're looking at 10 to 12 years if he pans out with a quarterback that you took in the first round. That's their mentality, which I get. I get, because as an Atlanta fan, there's nothing worse than not having a quarterback. Doug, you probably know that. After Brady, Mac Jones.
Well aware.
Yeah.
Cam Newton and Mac Jones experiment. Nah.
So if you are that high on a guy, mm-hmm, I get it. Like Raheem Morris, people are like, what about defense? Raheem Morris did a lot with LA with scrubs than we ever thought he would do. He did great with guys, and they're like, oh, what about a three technique like Aaron Donald? They need that guy. Grady Jarrett is literally Aaron Donald, poor man Aaron Donald. That's Grady Jarrett. He's just coming off an ACL. They paid him. They mm-hmm needed outside pressure, and I think Dallas Turner or Latu would have been a smart choice. But I think with their priorities, like, hey, quarterback is an elite premier position. They need.
Yeah, and they went defense for the next like four rounds after that.
Yes, and they overpicked on defense. But
they did get a great name guy in Rook.
Yes, who apparently is he's definitely a day three guy. They reached around for him, but they also traded a third round pick for him as well to go up and get him. So Atlanta made some interesting choices. I get the Penix pick, and honestly, it makes me feel warm and comfy inside knowing that they have a quarterback if Cousins doesn't produce or is not great, because I do think Penix is a better thrower in this class. Like, he is an elite thrower. So
where do you think Penix falls in super flex leagues?
I think he falls to the early second. If you are comfortable with taking him in the late first, I think that's fine. Because a top 10 quarterback pick, Dynasty Nerds has hit this a lot. This weekend, I've listened to all their podcasts. A 77% chance of Penix hitting because he's a top 10 quarterback drafted. That's where we're at.
And it drops off after that. It gets down to like 50%
now. So like, we'll talk about the other quarterback that was drafted in the top 12. But yeah, like Penix as a top 10 quarterback, the hit rate on those are pretty good. Even Zach Wilson got multiple years, and Zach Wilson was ungood. So Penix, you're going to have to wait. And Cousins, like, they are in a good position. If Penix doesn't play, it's because Cousins is playing good. If Penix does play, it's because they have that blanket, security blanket. Yes, it was very early. They weren't going to get Penix if they didn't take him at 8. We can all hate on the Falcons, but if Penix hits, we're all going to be like, wow, okay, maybe they might be smart. Just like Green Bay with Love.
Yeah. Now, does the savvy dynasty owner with the Falcons taking Penix seek to get Cousins at a discount to be their QB2?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, it's Achilles thing. Doug, you mentioned it. Like, it's on his push foot, and that's where you're getting a lot of explosive from.
It could sap a lot of your power.
And like Aaron Rodgers, we're not crazy worried because it's on his plant foot, but Cousins, it's opposite. So we're going to see which one's affected more.
Yeah, 100%. Some of the other moves they made, like I said, they focused mainly on defense for the next four rounds. But in round six, 186th overall, running back Jace McClellan out of Alabama. We already know Bijan's there. They also have Tyler Algier. No more Cordarrelle Patterson to gum up the works. You know, this is a good depth piece. You know, Jace, I didn't think he was good. I didn't think he was bad. I mean, he went to Alabama, so some people that might, you know, perk their ears a little bit because he's probably highly recruited. But what do you think about Jace McClellan here?
I don't think anything.
Same. And I'm the same thing on Casey Washington in round six. It's a guy that wasn't even really on my radar.
Yeah.
And he's gonna be deep on the depth chart. If anything, this draft was really good for your Kyle Pitts, Drake London, you know, Rondale Moore. And
yeah, if Cousin gets hurt or he's not good, like, they've got another guy. Like, you're not worried about, oh, well, if they need to play their backup quarterback, the drop off is real. You don't have to worry about that with Atlanta. So here you go. There's your I'm looking at an optimistic view for sure.
Yep. Let's go to New Orleans next. They were interesting. I mean, they added a couple of players here on the offensive skill positions.
They needed
I actually
offensive
liked,
line like crazy because Ram they did. Was it Ramchek? He retired.
He might retire.
I heard he did.
I don't think he's formally retired, but there's rumors that he might. So getting Fuaga 14th overall, that was a pretty predictable pick that they were going to go line there. And then getting Kool-Aid at 41st overall was great, I thought.
Yeah.
And then they didn't pick again until round five. So they didn't pick rounds 3, 4, and they didn't pick until pick 15 in round five. And they went out and they got Spencer Rattler, which Derek Carr, he is the milquetoast mid quarterback of our
Not
century.
Even. Not even. Yeah. He is so hateable. Like, he's easily hateable. One of the most hateable players in the NFL.
He gives me Russell Wilson weird person vibes.
But like Russell Wilson better. That's saying a lot.
That is saying a lot. But Spencer Rattler, you know, this is going to be a guy that I love. He might be my Sam Howell this year, like end of the third round, early fourth, that I'm just like, yeah, I'll grab him and put him on my taxi.
Yeah, you know I'm all about it. I love Rattler. I hate the team. Yep. Like, I'm the one team I hate most in the NFL is the Saints, easily. And it's because, you know, Falcons and Saints have a rivalry, but it's just because of the Bounty Gate situation with Minnesota. There's a lot that goes into it, but Rattler, I think, is a great pick. He's going to be thrown in the dome. I think right off the bat, he's a better thrower than Derek Carr, and he has a lot of starts under his belt, so we could actually be looking at a Sam Howell-type position here where we could see him midway through the season because Derek Carr is just so bad. And yeah, a lot of positional players, this helps out. Kendre Miller, this is a plus for him. They didn't take anybody. And the offensive line got better. Kamara even tweeted out like, hey, here we are. Let's beat this offensive lineup. So yeah, I think if you're looking at players for them, like Rashid Shaheed, this is good for. Olave, this is good for. And yeah.
What do you think about Bub Means?
I don't think anything. lot of these guys are going to be like, well, maybe. No. The well maybes usually don't do anything, and they just take up a roster spot.
You know, this is another one where it's good for the running backs on that roster because they didn't draft one.
Yeah.
They didn't draft a tight end, and they did not draft a wide receiver outside of Bub Means. So I like this for guys like Rashid Shaheed and A.T. Perry going forward. It means, like, they like their skill position group. So you're going to see maybe the Kendre Miller get worked in more. I know Jamal Williams is still there as well as Kamara, but they're pretty much returning all the same guys. So for me, it's one of those drafts that they could have drafted guys and made some moves, but they didn't. So they're going to run it back with all of those guys. Let me get back to this. My computer. Give me one second.
It's all right. Now we could just, who's next? Is it Buccaneers or Carolina?
Let's go Tampa Bay. Cause I just pulled them up. So we'll do that. Tampa Bay, another this is interesting because there's some players that I really liked that got drafted by them. They didn't pick a skill position player until round 3. And this is one of your guys, pick 29, 92nd overall, Jalen McMillan. We all know that Chris Godwin could be his last year as a Tampa Bay Buck. Mike Evans is going to be around for a little bit longer. We both love Trey Palmer.
Yep.
McMillan could be just ease right into that Godwin role.
It's you, McMillan. That's all I think.
McMuffin. So what do you? I know you like McMillan.
I think this is great. This is a great landing spot for him. And people are like, oh, well, you might have to wait. Like, yeah. But Godwin, once again, not a picture of health. He's missed some games. It's a contract year. I could easily see him slide right into the slot and be Chris, like, even 85 to 90% of what Chris Godwin production is. And I love it. So if you can snag him up in late, like, you might get him mid-third.
Birds, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Like, give me – the draft capital is actually better than I thought. I thought it'd be maybe fourth round. This is great. Day two capital. Yeah, I'm loving this.
Da-da-da-da-da. He's loving it. All right, and then in round four, this was a spot where, you know, they could have added a running back because they've got Rashad White, who had an amazing year last year. But then they don't really have much in terms of depth chart behind Rashad White. You know, Sean Tucker ended up not being really a thing. They had Keyshawn Vaughn for a little bit. He's got jettisoned off to the Patriots. And who else did they have there last year? Oh, Chase Edmonds, who's pretty much dust at this point. So they draft Bucky Irving in round four at pick 25, 125 overall. I actually really like this spot for Bucky Irving. You know, Irving's one of those guys that tested slow at the combine, but you watch his film and he is not slow. He is quick and shifty. He may lack that top end gear, but I see Bucky Irving as being like a, not quite like Tariq Cohen, but like in that mold of a smaller running back with good vision and can move well. So I kind of like this spot for Bucky Irving, because to me he can be the RB2 right away.
Yeah, he probably will be, especially with the draft capital he got. And like we're both meh on Rashad White. Like he gets volume.
I like Rashad. You've never liked Rashad White.
No, I haven't.
Had this debate. You were adamant of his upright running style. You despised Rashad White.
He's not a good runner. He's not.
He's not that bad.
He's
better.
Not.
Admit this. He's better than you thought he would be.
Well, 3.6 a carry? Is that he's
better than that?
He's he was
what, the RB6 on the season?
I'm talking about per carry. Like his average was terrible. He was a bad runner. He got volume in the pass game. He's a PPR like god because he's getting volume out of the backfield. You can look it up. You can go ahead and look it up. But yeah.
You do that. You look it up.
Yeah. I just thought he – do you remember Melvin Gordon on the years where it's like, oh, like 3-something a carry?
He was like 3-3 for a little bit there.
Yeah, that's how I feel with Rashad White. It's just he has his moments, but it's mainly just volume. And if he gets anything sapped off of him, like this is bad for Rashad White, 100%. So I don't know how to look at it. I think they'll still roll with White just due to his season he had last year and how true his hands are out of the backfield. So I think we will see Bucky Irving in spurts. They might use him on jet sweeps, maybe even kick returns because of the new rule. So I think we'll see him on the field every so often. And if you see anything positive, I think you got some out of your draft pick. He's definitely,
yeah.
Like I said, these running backs are hard to.
And they're going to be cheaper in your drafts, too. So you won't feel as bad if you have to spend a late third on Bucky Irving or an early fourth, I would think, because of the amount of wide receivers in this class. So, yeah, I'm cool with that. Let's go to Carolina. They trade back into the first round. I was under the understanding they told Xavier Leggett if he was there at the top of the second, they were guaranteeing they were going to pick him. Obviously, they were afraid someone else was going to trade back in. So they trade back in and they take Xavier Leggett, who doesn't come with a translator, unfortunately. But if you saw his video from his press conference, I was like, I had to watch it twice and be like, okay, I understand what he's saying now. But it took me a minute. So Xavier Leggett. Now they're going to have Leggett. They're going to have Jonathan Mingo as well as Adam Thielen. I still don't know what to make of this wide receiver core. Are they going to move Mingo? What do you think, Tyler?
I think Mingo's... I think Mingo will be more of an afterthought, personally. Maybe when Thielen goes, but this is Xavier Leggett's team. Like this, it's him and Deonta Johnson. I've heard comps of Xavier Leggett go from DK Metcalf. I've heard AJ Brown style of play. I've heard it could be Debo. I've heard it could be Treylon Burks. Like it's literally a very wide range of possibilities for him. But if the Panthers were very adamant on getting him, that means they're going to use him. So Xavier Leggett, do what you will with the information. You know, the fifth-year breakout does nothing the rest of his careers, but he is
he's going to be a massive outlier if he hits.
He's a ball. Like, he's going to be the only person, though. Like, we've never seen this anywhere. So if he hits, we're going to look at other players in other drafts and be like, oh, we got Xavier Legette. Or we're going to look at it and be like, oh, we have Xavier Legette. So I think Mingo actually is it. I think we're seeing a Terrace Marshall with Mingo, same team. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I know we had a lot of Mingo
I wish that Terrace Marshall would have got traded somewhere, but.
Yeah, but.
Only one player traded, right? There, the whole draft?
Yes. There is one. Weird. There's one player that I was met on that I am liking the situation in the later rounds. Xavier Legette, I might let other people take because there's a bunch of other receivers in that range that I love. We'll talk about the AFC probably next week. But, yeah, I love a lot of the receivers that were drafted in the AFC range over Legette. But there is a tight end that Carolina took that I am very intrigued.
Ooh, we'll get to it in a moment. Because in round two, pick 14, 46th overall, 8 picks in front of the Dallas Cowboys, tilted them to the moon when the Carolina Panthers selected Jonathan Brooks. And at first I was like, oh, my God, I hate this. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know
I
what?
Like it.
Maybe I don't hate it. Because, you know, Chuba Hubbard is a good grinder, or a hoagie or a submarine if you're into, you know, a sub shop. And Miles Sanders, they signed him to big – I'm sure they can get out of that money either after this year. This gives a chance for Brooks to not have the pressure to start right away. But once he's healthy, he should own this backfield.
Yeah, 100%. Like, this is Jonathan Brooks' backfield, personally. Apparently, he can come back in July, which is great. And if so, I think we're going to see him easily be the like, we haven't seen a running back like this since CMC. And with Dave Canales, we just saw him make Rashad White a PPR machine. So what? Why not Jonathan Brooks? I know everybody's poo-pooing the team.
And Hubbard and Sanders, not great pass catchers out of the backfield.
Also, you know who Bryce Young had in the backfield in his college days? Take a guess.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes, thank you. Hey! Who is very good out of the backfield. Jonathan Brooks is a Jahmyr Gibbs-style player. So I think we're not even looking we're not even looking at just Brooks as a good landing spot. And Xavier Legette wheels up. Bryce Young, here we go.
Yes,
this is your opportunity. This is his opportunity.
I was going to say, the thing I like about the Brooks signing, too, is they invested a lot of money into that offensive line. So they want to keep Bryce protected, and Jonathan Brooks is going to run behind some maulers up front. So I think Brooks is going to be a slam in value in rookie draft.
So Bryce Young or 110?
Oh, Bryce Young.
Yeah, I think we're looking at that. His value definitely shot up. Like, this always happens every year. It happened with Zach Wilson, too. But I think with Bryce Young, we're looking at a legitimate, probably, value rise going into the next season.
Yeah, and, look at all the things they've done. They hire Canales. They both bulk up the offensive line. They draft him 3 weapons in the first 4 rounds because they added Jatavion Sanders at the very top of day 3. He was the 101st overall pick. And a lot of people love Jatavion. He was everyone's clear-cut tight end, too, until he wasn't as athletic as we thought.
I heard that somewhere. Mark Andrews was that guy.
Yeah, but again, look at the tape. You can't tell me he's slow. There's no way. He pops on tape just like Bucky Irving did. So for me, it's like, yes, the 40 time is part of the process, but I believe my eyes when I watch him play the game of football, and Jatavion Sanders is athletic. And I know you like him quite a bit, Tyler.
I was partial on him. I have Sanat over
him. You like
him
better now.
Yes, I like the landing spot.
I have Sanat over him too.
I like the landing spot a ton. Like, this is where we go into landing spot. And yeah, I mean, he's going to get his opportunity. And we did this with Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely ran a bad 40 time. We're like, oh, well, he was supposed to be one of the better tight ends in the class. And he fell to Baltimore. Oh, no. Now look what. He's a top 12 dynasty tight end, even though he's got Mark Andrews in front of him. So opportunity will rise, and we got to believe. And he's also like a 5-star recruit. He's a major recruit, so we can't forget about that either. So, yeah, this is a great position. They're giving Bryce Young weapons, and this helps Bryce Young a ton. And he'll probably give Sanders an opportunity.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, that's going to wrap up the...
Were you taking Sanders in tight end premium rookie draft?
I think he'll be a third-round pick because of the depth at all these other positions.
Yeah, him and Sanat will really be close. Good. Him and Sanat, you'll have to probably flip between the two.
I think the dynasty community will still lean on the he's not athletic and they don't love the landing spot as much as we do. So I bet Sanat goes late second, early third in tight end premiums, and Jatavion Sanders goes mid to late third.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I feel is accurate. All right, let's move our booties out to the NFC West. We got our last division, and we'll start with the Cardinals because they picked fourth overall. A lot of rumors about them trading out, and guess who landed in the perfect spot? Marvin Harrison, fourth overall. He's going to be an absolute target monster. If he's healthy, he will easily garner 140 targets.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, so I had a trade where I was sending Marv for Jefferson, which is fine. But right now, next year, who do you think will have more reliable targets? Marv or Jefferson?
Reliable targets?
Yes.
Marv.
Okay. And I was listening to a redraft podcast, I think yesterday, and they were talking about Marv versus Jefferson, and that Marv could already be a top five redraft pick in just PPR single quarterback leagues just due to the volume he'll probably see, because they didn't worry about the other side of the offense. It's Michael Wilson and it's Marv as a starting receiver. So, I mean, Trey McBride is their number two. Like, that's wheels up for McBride too, who is my tight end two or three. So, yeah, Marv, I think, is we're going to see him easily top five dynasty wide receiver. And it today. Starts now, like today.
Today. You know, this draft for the Cardinals was also good for the other pass catchers, like I said, McBride, Michael Wilson. And heck, even Greg the Human Dortch.
They love him.
They drafted a wide receiver I had never heard of out of UAB, Tawan Palmer. I don't know anything about him. Yeah. But he was a sixth round pick. But yeah, the Cardinals pass catchers are pretty much set in stone unless they make another move, and I don't know that they do. So let's move on to the next move, and I love this move. And this guy might slide a little bit in rookie drafts because everybody wants the thing that's going to pay off now. And the Cardinals at the very top of round three, pick 66, second overall pick in round three, drafted my guy out of Florida State, Trey Benson, to be the heir apparent to James Conner. The only thing they had in the backfield was, you know, DeMarcado, and they had Michael Carter, who I've liked for a while. But this is going to be Trey Benson's backfield as early as a James Conner injury or as early as next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Conner. I think Conner will be the main back. But yeah, if there's an injury, Palmer can just slide right in. He could be the next guy up.
Yeah, the thing about Benson is that you look at athleticism at Trey McBride, athleticism with Marvin Harrison, athleticism with Kyler Murray, athleticism with Benson. This could be a very, very fun offense in the next year or two. Maybe even this year. I don't think they're going to make a huge jump, but they should be much, much better than they were the year before. The only other notable player and he's not even that notable, but a lot of people love this kid. They drafted him in the third round, pick 18, 82 overall. Tip Ryman. Just the Tip Ryman. I'm not worried about Trey McBride at all. This guy is just like a grinder who will block and do everything you need him. He's like the Harrison Bryant or Austin Hooper that'll just grind out there and be on the field when you need a two tight end set.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right. Enough about the Tip Ryman talk. Let's get to who do you want to talk about next? NFC West. You want to go Rams?
Let's do it.
Let's do Rams. All right, let's go to the Rams, who made one of my favorite picks in the draft, and it wasn't fantasy related. It was trading up to get Brandon Fisk from Florida State and then reuniting him with Jared Verse. If there is a replacement for Aaron Donald, then I'm not going to put this on Brandon Fisk, that he's the next Aaron Donald. But we talked about Grady Jarrett being Aaron Donald, like, you know, thrift shop Aaron Donald. Brandon Fisk is an animal, and he will replace Aaron Donald at least 50%. He's a 10-sack guy, I think, in the league, especially paired with his old teammate, Jared Verse. They already work well together. Love what the Rams did in the first two rounds. And I also low-key love what they did in round three. I know you Kyren Williams owners are going to be like, I don't love this. But they drafted Blake Corum, 83rd overall. I believe he was the third running back off the board, Tyler.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we all expected it.
We saw Kyren Williams go down with an injury, and they were lost. It was Ronnie Rivers, Royce Freeman, my grandmother in the backfield. It was bad. So this makes a ton of sense. Kyren's not going anywhere, but now they have insurance of a player who kind of plays like Kyren Williams, does he not?
Yeah, it's true. A smaller guy plays like him. I think Kyren will be fine, but yeah, this definitely affects his value.
A little bit. Were you taking Corum in Superflex leagues?
Early third.
Okay. Before Marshawn Lloyd, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I think Blake Corum is just a really, really good football player, and those are always guys that I like to have on me roster. The only other notable offensive player they added was out of Texas, Jordan Whittington.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I got nothing on a Jordan Whittington. But, you know, this was a safe draft for your Puka Nacuas, your Cooper Cups, even DeMarcus Robinson. Like, he's going to be their wide receiver three, right? And at tight end, they didn't add one. Tyler Higbee's coming off an ACL. You know what that means. It means Davis Allen season.
That's true.
And I'm here for it.
Rumor has it they're trying to trade up for Bowers, but they couldn't.
Oh my God, Bowers in this offense would have been really, really good. That would have been pretty insane. All right, we got two more teams here. Hold on, I'm slow on the fingers. It's getting late at night over here. Oh, let's see. Let's go to the Niners. Let's do the Niners. Then who's the last team? Oh, Broncos. That's right. We'll talk them last. Another surprising first round pick. I did not see coming. I thought maybe this signals a trade of Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, and it didn't. But with the 31st pick in round one, second to last pick, Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida. Big slot season?
I think it was more the fact that they were maybe thinking Deebo or Ayuk were going to get traded, but it didn't happen. So I think we're going to have to wait a little bit, maybe wait a year for Ricky Pearsall. He'll probably be a returner. But other than that, he's going to be a mid-second round pick. So, I mean, I'm comfortable with that, a 49ers player. But I think the fact that Ayuk stayed and Deebo stayed hurts his value for sure.
100%. This might be one of those future picks. And I think, you know, I think Pearsall will end up going mid-second-ish because he got the draft capital in Superflex leagues. Maybe even, I don't know if anyone would jump on him higher than that, but not me personally. The next offensive player that the Niners took was running back super freak Isaac Garendo out of Louisville with the fourth round pick 29, 129 overall. He was on everyone's radar after the combine because he tested as one of the best athletes of all time at the position. We all know the Niners and what they love to do. We've seen them draft the Trey Sermons, the Joe Williams. They love to burn a mid-round pick on a running back. Will this one be different?
I think there might be something there.
Okay.
But I think he's going to get drafted earlier than we want, just because it's the San Francisco team.
Just like Joe Williams and just like Trey Yes. I'm more interested in their next pick because I really liked Jacob Cowing quite a bit. He got picked in round four, pick 35, 135 overall. From Arizona. So obviously Deebo's 28 years old. Ayuk may not be back with the team if he becomes a free agent. Who knows? So maybe the future is Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing. I was surprised they didn't draft a tight end, to be quite honest, with George Kittle being, you know, kind of towards the end of his career, I would think. But I like Jacob Cowing, and I think he's going to be dirt cheap in rookie drafts. I think he's going to be a round mid to late round four guy. And I just really liked his skill set. He gets open. He's shifty. He's got good hands. He's productive. So for me, Jacob Cowing is one of those late guys that I'm going to be targeting in drafts.
I mean, it's smart. It's smart targeting players from the 49ers. So it's not a bad thing. But yeah, I'm mainly focused on Pearsall here. And I'm going to let other people worry about the Grendo and all that stuff. But yeah, this offense will look more the same. And I know they tried to attack their offensive line. They didn't they trade? Yeah, the offensive line pick. So the Chiefs traded for the Bills pick to get one of their players, and they traded with the 49ers pick to get elite athletic offensive linemen. So the Chiefs got two players from kind of rivals. That was a big, big hit on this draft. So, yeah, 49ers, Rick Pearsall. I know a lot of people like him, elite route runner, a little older, but fits right
very
into this offense.
In the middle.
Yeah. Yes.
Seattle's not going to take us much time.
No.
Because they didn't. They only drafted one skill position player on offense, and it was tight end A.J. Barner, who wasn't really on my radar, out of Michigan. They just re-signed Noah Fant. Will Disley's finally gone. So for me, you know, DK, Tyler Lockett, JSN, this offense with Walker and Charbonnet, they didn't even draft a quarterback like late to, as like a developmental guy. So they're pretty much running it back here, Tyler, and they're focusing on defense. You have so much to contribute about the Seahawks. I'm assuming you're
All right.
He's back.
So the Seahawks, to me, it was all about defense. They hit offense a lot last year with JSN and Charbonnet, and they got those tackles and offensive line. I think they're just getting within the trenches. That's what they want to hit on, and I think they did that. So Seahawks, the defense will be much better. The offense will be running the ball, and Geno and, well, Sam Howell, hopefully, will be the main focus. That's what you can kind of look at. They drafted Sam Howell in the fourth because they gave up a fourth rounder.
Yeah. So I dig it. That's going to wrap it up for the NFC side of the house of the NFL draft. And we'll get back to you with the AFC. Tyler, any final words before we get on out of here?
No, it's been a fun draft. We've been out of focus in this draft because we got so many rookie drafts going on. I know I'm on the clock in the league. I got sniped on Brock Bowers, but it's okay. There's plenty other players that I can go snag up. It's been a fun rookie draft cycle. And until next week, until we hit the AFC.
Yeah, buddy. We'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.